Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Front Range. My name is Johnny. I'm one of our pastors here. We're so glad that you guys are with us this morning, whether you're here in person or you're joining us online. And if you're new at Front Range, we hope that this will become a home for you, where you can build community, discover your purpose, and grow in your faith in Jesus. We got a couple things coming up I want to let you guys know about. The first is Easter. That's coming up real quick this year. It's on March 31st. Sydney just talked about our special egg hunt. That's going to be on Saturday. That's at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. And then the very next day on Sunday, we're going to celebrate Easter together at the Douglas County Fairgrounds Event Center. We'll have one service at 10 a.m. So if you guys show up here on Sunday on Easter, you'll have to travel down a little bit south and join us at the Event Center. And we'd love for you guys to invite your friends, your neighbors, whoever you're thinking of. And many of you have submitted our recent survey and shared names with us of people that you're praying for to invite to Easter. And we're praying along with you. We consider it an honor to partner with you in prayer and that way. And so on our Monday and Thursday prayer times over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be praying over those names and praying for Easter and the egg hunt. We'd love for you to join us in that. And if you need to share anything about Easter or you need any information, easterincastlerock.com is the spot to go for that. We'd love to see you guys there on the 31st celebrating the resurrection of Jesus with us. And then the very next Sunday, April 7th, we're going to have our next baptisms. And we would love for anybody who's interested to sign up to get baptized. Our last one about a month ago, a little bit cold. We had a bunch of people get baptized, though, and I loved it. It's so great. We had kids, students, couples, adults. It was awesome. It was so great. And so if you've never been baptized, or maybe like me, you were baptized as an infant, but you made a decision to follow Jesus as an adult, and you want to get baptized, we would love to make that happen. This is an opportunity to say to the world, my old life has been buried in death with Christ, and I've been raised to new life with him. So you can sign up either online or on the Connect card that we mentioned already this morning. And we'd love to have you for that. Now, today we are continuing in our series called Taboo, and we've been discussing mental health topics that don't typically come up in church. And we've heard from many of you how impactful this series has been, how good it's been for you. And I'm encouraged by that, because what that means is that all of us together, we are digging in a little bit deeper, and we're hearing from the Lord on some of these sensitive topics, and we're digging into Scripture together, and God is doing something in our community, and I love that so much. If you've missed any part of the series, or maybe you want some resources to go a little bit deeper, check out our website, frontrange.org. There's a messages tab on there, and there's something called a series hub. We do that for all of our series, where we put all the messages on there, but we also put resources that we've used in our study, but things that you can also use to take a next step in your faith. So check that out. As we start today, let me ask a question, and I want to hear from you on this. Tell me, what is your greatest pet peeve? What's something that just gets under your skin? Let me hear some stuff. You got to say it loud. Bad drivers. Okay, bad in what way? Give me a little bit more. Slow in the fast lane, roundabouts. What is so hard about a roundabout? What? We got so many of them in this town, you'd think we'd have enough practice to figure it out. What else? Give me another pet peeve. What'd you say? Smelling? Spelling. I was like, what do we smell? Spelling. Bad spelling. Yep. My name gets misspelled all the time. One more. Somebody give me one more. Worst pet peeve you got. Rude people, there you go. I love it. I can feel the emotion on some of these, which is good, because today we're going to talk about how to be angry. So this is good for us. Now, in this series on mental health topics, why are we talking about anger? Well, we believe that anger is a mental health issue, and it's also a spiritual maturity issue. Now, let's take a poll real quick. How many of us would agree that the level of anger in our society seems to have risen recently? Raise your hand if you might agree with me on that. That's great. If you don't agree, have you seen any reviews of anything ever recently? Google reviews, restaurant reviews, Amazon reviews. I actually went, I'm a movie fan, and so I went on Amazon and I looked at some reviews of movies. I wanted to share a few of those with you to just prove my point about how angry people can get about this stuff. These are movies that people have purchased on Amazon, so I'm going to throw it up here and I'll read it for you. This first one's for Avengers Endgame. Everything has superpowers? ? Every character seemed to have a crazy superpower. It's Avengers! Did you miss the 21 movies before Avengers Endgame? Anyway, this next one, this is for The Jungle Book, okay? There's a couple together on here. 1 star, it's a film, not a book, very disappointed. Despite being labeled as a book, this product is actually a disc. The Jungle Disc would have been a more appropriate title. This movie doesn't have a book anywhere in it. I don't know how to help people. I don't. This last one's my favorite. I'll read the review first and I'll tell you what it is. Awful. Looks like it was filmed in the 70s. This is Star Wars. we'll let those go. Think of your social media feeds, though. Do you see more positive, life-giving, encouraging stuff, or do you see more negativity, anger? I mean, did anyone see any of the posts about plows or shoveling or anything over the last couple of days on some of the local pages? There's this level of anxious anger that seems to be rising. And social media in particular, it's designed that way. Social media, news feeds, headlines, all of these things are designed to elicit an emotional response from us. And the response that leads to likes, shares, engagement, and spreading these things is usually some level of anger and outrage. If you're outraged about something, you'll comment on it, you'll share it, you'll talk about it at the dinner table, and then it will become all-consuming, and that thing has won you over to what they want us to do, which is to share it. So there's this pressure in the culture around us and the ways that we engage to generate anger about topics. Now, here's the question we have to ask ourselves as followers of Jesus. Is this what God wants for us? Is this what living for Jesus should look like? This level of anger that we see all around us? I don't think it is. I don't think this is what God wants for us. I think if we think about that a little bit deeper, we know that the answer is that God wants more for us than this anger. And then the question is, what do we do about it? For followers of Jesus, we don't get to just receive what the world offers us and consume it without some critical thinking and examining whether or not it's what God intends for us. We are called to a different standard of living. We're called to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to follow Jesus. And the way of Jesus is not one of anger, but one of love. To talk about this topic, our staff took a poll, and we decided to give this message to the least angry, most chill, peaceful, non-anxious person on staff. But since that guy's not here today, you get me. So, I'm kidding. This is an issue for me. One of the things that I deal with the most is anger. And in my family growing up, this is just who we were. This is just how we dealt with stuff. We didn't talk about hard topics. We just got mad. So a lot of the things we've talked about in this Taboo series of depression and anxiety and burnout and all these things, we dealt with all of that. We just expressed it in anger. We didn't know anything else. And so that's how I was taught to deal with hard stuff, was to just get mad about it. We were mad at people and things and circumstances and all this stuff. And it changed on a daily basis, sometimes multiple times a day. But anger was familiar in my family of origin. And this message today comes from a work in progress, not someone who has conquered this or completely solved it. And the thing about my personality is I also have this desire for justice and holiness and to see righteousness. And I get really frustrated when the world is imperfect and broken as it normally is. And so some of the dark side of that, though, can also lead me to a bit of pride and judgment to make me think that I'm better than other people and that I'm living better than other people. And that gets expressed in anger and resentment. And I know that that judgment of people is wrong and it's not the way that God wants me to live, and yet that's something that's a default tendency for me. But my desire for justice and holiness, it leads to an anger at sin and depravity in the world, and that's also not a bad thing. It's then when that anger crosses a line to that judgment and certain sinful actions, that's when things crossover. Here's what one pastor, Jeff Cook, says in a book he wrote on the seven deadly sins. He says, there is a great pain in our world, and our anger alerts us to the fact that it needs fixing. We become angry when we see the weak exploited, those we care about injured, what we value destroyed. The desire for justice is legitimate. In fact, God desires the elimination of evil even more than we do. Yet when our longing for justice turns to violence and scorn, We no longer share God's perspective. We move from being part of the solution to becoming part of the problem. Anger is a check engine light for our hearts. It alerts us to something that's wrong. It can motivate us to seek action, to seek justice and righteousness. But why we're angry and what we do with our anger can make all the difference. And this topic is so large. There's so many different things we could talk about with regards to anger, but we're going to focus in today on the deeper root causes of our anger and how we can put some practices in place to help us as individuals become generally less angry people. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about other people's anger, although that is a huge issue, and many of us have been the victims of someone else's anger, and I know what that's like, and I'm sorry if that's been part of your story, and we just want to acknowledge that is something that can happen, and God wants to speak to that as well. But today, we're focusing on ourselves and what we can do with our own anger. If you've got a Bible, open up to Numbers chapter 20. This is towards the front of the Old Testament. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll have the scripture on the screen, but we'd also love to give you one at the Blue Connections tent out in the courtyard. You can just stop by and snatch one from the table there. In Numbers chapter 20, to give you a little context, this is when Moses is still leading the nation of Israel out of captivity in Egypt. He's leading them to the promised land. And if you've read any of Exodus or Numbers, Moses had a pretty tough time with the nation of Israel. They were not always the easiest group of people to lead. But remember, God parted a sea. He helped them escape this army. He's provided for them manna from heaven, all these sorts of things. And yet we get to a moment where things are not going well, and they've got some issues. And so here's what happens in Numbers chapter 20. We'll start in verse 2. Now there was no water for the community. That's a problem. And the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." These people are mad. If you don't like figs or pomegranates, just replace that with like steak or something. I don't know. They are angry, but more than that, they're hangry. They need a Snickers. Can I get an amen? These people are upset. Rightfully so. Water's kind of a big deal. So here's what happens. Moses, when he hears this, he does the right thing at first. He and Aaron go before the Lord. Jump down to verse 8. Here's what the Lord says. "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water." That's pretty cool. But no problem, right? Moses is like, cool, speak to the rock. But Moses is having some trouble with these people. He's not over the frustration. Again, remember, they are quarreling with him. They are coming in opposition against him. Verse 10 says, "He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock." Now, think of what that would have looked like. A couple million people. Moses is trying to get them all together so he can talk to them and so he can do what the Lord has called him to do. And I bet that took a bit of time, and things go sour when you add time to some anger. So I imagine Moses out there trying to herd cats, right? Just like, yes, okay, yep, go over there. I know we're out of water. I know we're out of water. I get it. Like, can you imagine the amount of complaints that would have been happening? This group of people, we need water, we need grapes, we need figs, Moses, what's going on? And Moses sort of snaps. Continuing in verse 10, Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. I bet they drank a little fearful, though. Just saying. Notice the language in Scripture here. Moses comes away from an encounter with God and starts calling people names. "Listen, you rebels." Something wasn't right in his heart. Then we see that God told Moses to speak to the rock, and instead Moses, in his anger, struck the rock not once, but twice. Then verse 11 tells us that water gushed out of the rock as a result of him striking it. But in verse 8, God said to speak to it, and water would pour out. The language of Scripture here is trying to get us to see that there is a violence associated with what Moses did. Striking the rock causes water to gush out. There is something going on here as a result of his anger. And think of what that would have represented about God. The representative, Moses, comes to the people who have a legitimate concern. They're asking for God to provide for them. Moses comes to them in anger, strikes a rock. I bet they were a little bit like, whoa, dude. Just think of the consequences of Moses' anger here. And what happens? We see later in this chapter, Moses, the consequence of his anger and disobeying God, Moses is prevented from entering into the promised land. The Lord tells him he will die before the nation enters in as a result of his anger and what he did here. He paid dearly for that anger. This is the destructive power that can result in our anger. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had a moment where you've said something, done something that you didn't think about at first, it just sort of happened, and you were so angry about something that you made a mistake, and then you look back on it later and go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. That's what's happening here. Our anger carries consequences from individual relationships to large-scale chaos and destruction. When Scripture says, we're told to do things like refrain from it in Psalm 37, and then we're told to not sin in our anger in Ephesians chapter 5, and also in that chapter, Paul says to get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, lumping those things together there. What do we do about it? What do we do about this anger? Again, I'm a work in progress. This is something I struggle with, so I want to share some tips and some things that we can do to help us in this area, to submit our lives more to the way of Jesus. Here's a few tips that I've learned. The first thing to grow in this area of our lives is to own your anger. Own your anger. We all probably know that saying, the first step to getting help is to admit you have a problem. And it's the same thing here. We have to own the fact that we deal with anger, that we live in a culture trying to form us into more angry people, but we also have to own the fact that we have anger within ourselves because of our circumstances, our family history, as I said, all these sorts of things. It takes us owning it and admitting it as the first step to growing in it. When we don't own it, or we either ignore it or pretend we're not angry, it begins to poison us. That's why Paul lumps in things like bitterness and rage, because anger doesn't usually just go away. It tends to grow into these things. Some of us, we struggle to admit that we're angry, and some of us, me, can tell you at any given moment what we're angry about. I can literally at any moment, like, yep, those things we were saying earlier, roundabouts, every time I get one, come on, people. I'm very familiar with anger, and so the step in owning it for those of us like me who are familiar with anger is to really admit that it's not okay. And that God wants us to do something about it, that he calls us out of anger into love. Some of us, we just struggle to admit that we ever get angry, and owning it looks like coming to terms with the anger that we may have buried for some reason. Anger doesn't always look like this big explosive thing. Anger can be passive aggressive and resentful and judgmental. And some of us, we may not even call that anger, but if you really look and dig deep beneath the surface, you can find that there's a little bit of anger going on underneath there. And maybe owning it just looks like saying, hey, I am angry sometimes. There are some things going on that I need to deal with. And there's nothing wrong. We all get angry. There's nothing wrong with admitting it. We just have to take that step if maybe we're unaware of it. And doing this gives us an opportunity for emotional health and maturity, which is directly correlated to our spiritual health and maturity. Owning our anger can often lead us to the very spiritual practices of repentance and asking for forgiveness from the people that we've hurt with our anger. And I know this all too well, especially with my kids. I can blame them for not listening and not doing what I've asked them to do. I can say they've made me angry, but the reality is my anger and what I do with it is my responsibility, not theirs. And so we have to own this as an issue in our society and in our lives and in our discipleship to Jesus. We have to own our anger. The next step is to process your anger. process your anger. This is another internal step. This is taking us to a deeper level of figuring out what's going on beneath the surface. This is when we ask ourselves questions to get to the bottom of why I'm angry. In the psychology and mental health world, anger is defined as a surface-level emotion. To help us understand this, we've got an image of an iceberg. And if you know anything about icebergs, most of the iceberg is underneath the water. So this is what anger looks like for us. It's maybe 10% of what's really going on. And then we'll throw up some of the other things that can be going on underneath the surface. But anger is the thing that you see. But it's connected to so many other things. Sadness and grief, anxiety, depression, fear, control. For me, control's the thing that's usually going on when I'm angry. It's usually that things didn't go the way I wanted them to or expected them to, and I just get mad about it. But if I dig beneath the surface, it's usually an opportunity for God to go, hey, things aren't always going to go the way you want them to. Do you trust me with your life? Will you trust me with this situation? And then I have to, yes, I guess. But there's so many things that could be causing anger in our lives. That almost every time we're angry, there's more going on underneath the surface. And it is worth figuring out what that thing is. Being able to process the underlying causes of our anger will open us up to an opportunity for God to move in our lives almost like nothing else. When you're able to come to God with honesty, both with Him and with yourself, and you start to deal with the cause of anger, man, the change that can take place is immeasurable. God's Spirit can work to bring healing from the pain that we're dealing with. We can overcome our fear and anxiety about our situation. We are convicted of our pride and judgment of other people. Being able to process our anger with God is not a self-help trick. It's the work of deep discipleship that changes individuals and family legacies. I have seen the power of God transform a family from one of anger and fear to one of love and grace. I have seen it. It is powerful. To do this, though, you need to slow your life down enough to give you space to process. You need time in scripture and prayer, times of silence in God's presence. You need an opportunity to connect with what's going on inside of you and what God wants to say about it. Some of us may need help processing anger. You may need to talk to a counselor. And that's okay. I have spent hours in counseling, processing my anger and digging underneath the surface to try to figure out what is going on. Because many of us, we need to develop the skill of processing our emotions and what's going on underneath the surface, and we need some help with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Becoming a less angry person starts with owning it and processing it, but there's something that we can actively do to cut right to the heart of the anger all around us. There is a specific practice I want to share that has been immensely helpful in my own life, and that practice is gratitude. Gratitude. What I mean when I call gratitude a practice is this is creating a rhythm in your life to intentionally identify what you're grateful for. Why is this helpful for our anger? Well, think back to Numbers chapter 20 and the story that we're looking at. The Israelites are upset with Moses. They're upset about their situation. They're worried they're going to die without water. They're driven to fighting and arguing with Moses and Aaron. But you know what they lacked? Gratitude for all that God had done for them already, which if they were able to process their gratitude and see what God had done, it would have led them to be a little less angry in this situation and able to trust Him more. Because again, this is the God who parted the sea and provided manna from heaven and has been leading them with a pillar of fire and cloud through the wilderness. They lacked gratitude for all that God had done for them already. Moses, in responding to them, ends up calling these people rebels. He degrades them and basically curses them. And you know what he lacked? Humility and gratitude for the fact that God had called him and gifted him to lead this group of people. The Lord gives Moses the power to speak to a rock, the very power that God used in creation to speak things into existence. The Lord bestows upon Moses, and he forgets. He loses sight of what God has given him. He gets angry. He sins in his anger, and he ends up paying dearly for it. Now, this is not as easy as saying, oh man, just be grateful and you'll just be less angry. It's not that simple. But I think gratitude can lead us in the right direction. Even in the legitimate areas of anger, like I talked about earlier, of injustice and sadness and all these things, what I have found in my life is that gratitude is so helpful when I'm angry, when I'm frustrated, to just reset my perspective, to change what's going on in my heart, in my mind. The most peaceful people I've ever met are people who are very familiar with what a gift life is, and they're able to express gratitude freely. What I've done to make this easier for me is I bought a journal. It's a daily Kairos journal. And I put a link to this in our series hub. But I saw this on social media, and the reason it stood out to me is, yes, there's spots for writing out, you know, scripture and prayer requests and all those sorts of things and scripture memorization, but the thing that stood out to me was there's a section on gratitude. And every day, I use this journal in my time with the Lord, and, you know, I'm not going to pretend that I'm on the mountaintop every single day. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes things don't always go the way I want them to. But if nothing else, I make sure I spend time in this gratitude section because I'm finding that it is changing me. And sometimes, listen, it's not that spiritual. I get up at 6 usually, and I'm sitting there with this journal and my Bible, and sometimes one of the things I'm grateful for is the coffee in my hand. Amen. I get an amen. Sometimes things just aren't going my way, and that's the best I can do. But I am finding that slowly, and I mean very slowly, I'm developing a muscle for gratitude that is beginning to infiltrate other moments of my life, and it's beginning to change me. The Spirit of God at work in my life through this practice of gratitude is beginning to just soften and bring down the temperature a little bit on the anger in my life. I had a good opportunity to practice this the other day. I had on my schedule to finish this message, and my son was sick. My wife couldn't stay home with him, and so it was on me. And I'm frustrated. You know, I got my whole schedule. I'm a very strategic, organized person, and everything just got thrown up in the air. And so I'm at home, and I'm trying to work. My son's playing, and I'm trying to make sure he's doing okay. And I'm just frustrated, right? And I'm angry. It's like, I got to finish all this kind of stuff. And then I had a moment where I just sort of stopped. And I heard my son off playing in the other room. He's doing great. And I just thought, I'm grateful for this, God. That my son's sick, yeah, but it's not that bad. And he's happy, and he's playing, and he's a sweet guy that I get to be with. And everything's going to be okay. And it shifted everything about that moment I was angry about. It shifted everything from control, like I talked about earlier. Things aren't going the way I wanted them to or I expected them to today. And it shifted it to, everything's going to be okay. Because again, I've put a practice in place that I am still working on, but it's beginning to make this difference in my life where I am becoming more easily acquainted with gratitude in my life. I have a suspicion that gratitude is a key that unlocks a lot of doors in the spiritual life. I think gratitude opens the way for humility, repentance, forgiveness, peace, joy. I think there's a lot to this practice. What if we, as followers of Jesus, were to become known more for our gratitude than for our anger? What if we found a way to de-escalate situations rather than escalate them? Because we figured out how to become healthy and mature, humble, and grateful. What if the simple act of practicing gratitude can lead us to look, act, sound more like Jesus in our lives? I want to challenge all of us over the next week. Take some time every single day to practice gratitude. Maybe you want to look into a journal like what I've talked about. Maybe you want to do this at the end of the day. I've been trying to do something else before I leave the office. I put it on my calendar. It's just a time of reflection. And what I'll do is I'll look back over my schedule. And again, I'm very organized, so I put all my meetings, all my tasks, all that stuff on there. And I'll just look back through my day and I'll thank God for certain things. God, thank you that in this meeting it didn't go poorly like I thought it might, or there was grace in this situation. Thank you for the decisions that we got to make here. Thank you for the opportunity that I had to do this. And I'll just spend time thanking him for what happened throughout the day before I leave the office, and the weight that comes off of my shoulders is amazing. Maybe you want to try something like that. My challenge to us is to figure out whatever it might look like for you to practice gratitude. My hope and prayer is that this one simple act would cause a shift in our lives and help us become people known more for our gratitude than for our anger. Will you join me in this? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship together today. And God, as we come before you, many of us may be dealing with some conviction with our anger and the things that we know we want to see change in our lives. So God, we ask for you to just humble us right now. Remind us of how much you've done for us, how good you are to us. Lord, remind us of what we can be grateful for in this moment. There's so many things for so many of us. We're so, so blessed. And God, if we can't think of anything else in this moment, Lord, remind us of what Jesus has done for us, that he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, that he rose 3 days later to give us abundant, eternal life that we will experience in the life to come, but we can also experience here today by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, if nothing else is going right, if nothing else is good, if we are just angry about everything, angry at the world, God, remind us of what you've done for us, that it would lead us to thankfulness and gratitude and expressing that in our worship to you. And Lord, we just come before you, those of us who are familiar with the mistakes and the consequences of our anger, God, we ask for you to forgive us. We repent, we turn from our anger. God, give us your grace and your mercy. We thank you so much for the power of your word, the power of your spirit at work in our lives, that we can come before you and be forgiven and know that we can walk in your strength and your power, and that you are at work in our lives, that you are the author, the perfecter of our faith. Help us in this area, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.